Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll be talking with producer Terry Benedict about his Christopher Award-winning film, Hacksaw Ridge. It tells the true story of Congressional Medal of Honor winner Desmond Doss, a conscientious objector who saved 75 men during the World War II Battle of Okinawa without firing a single shot. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Terry Benedict. Terry is an Academy Award-nominated producer and a Christopher Award winner for the movie Hacksaw Ridge, which is now available on Blu-ray and DVD. Directed by Mel Gibson, it starred Andrew Garfield as Desmond Doss, a Seventh-day Adventist who so strongly believed in the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," that he refused to take up arms during World War II. He was, however, willing to serve as a medic who would save other soldiers' lives, even those who harshly abused him for his beliefs. At great risk to himself, that's exactly what he did during the Battle of Okinawa, one of the bloodiest battles of the war. He saved 75 lives and was eventually awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. Joining me now to share more of Desmond Doss's story, I am pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Terry Benedict. Terry, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, in preparation for this interview, I rewatched Hacksaw Ridge yesterday, and even on a second viewing, this is still a powerful movie with a really important message. And, you know, it's wonderful that it got all this acclaim, critical acclaim, Academy Award nominations. And I know you've been devoted to this story for a lot of years of Desmond Doss, first through a documentary and now through Hacksaw Ridge. So take me back. How did you first hear about Desmond Doss, and why did his story resonate with you?
I was growing up, my parents decided not to let us have a television.
Okay.
And so that meant that we had to do a lot of reading besides going outside and playing tag or kick the can. So I came across his story when I was just reading very voraciously when I was about 10 years old, kind of reading all those typical hero stories, war stories, World War II, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I came across this story in a book called The Unlikeliest Hero. And it was truly unlike any other story I'd ever read about a guy who refused to carry a gun and wanted to live strictly by his faith in God. And he ended up saving the men who abused him for 2.5 years up on a cliff known as Hacksaw Ridge in Okinawa. And the men who hated him fell in love with him and got him the Medal of Honor, which was a crazy story. And that just kind of stuck with me. A couple of years later, actually, I met Desmond at a church summer camp, and then we reconnected in the late 90s, and that's when I really found out that Hollywood had been chasing after him since 1945 when he got the medal, and we developed a relationship, and so he entrusted me with his story.
Well, if Hollywood had been chasing him for that long, why did he hold him off so long?
Well, that's a really good question. The answer is two things. One, he was concerned that Hollywood would spice up his character, you know,
okay.
Like Hollywood would do such a thing, you
sure.
know. But he was concerned about that. And also he wanted all the honor and glory to go to God. And that was the most important thing to him. And he just couldn't see how Hollywood would care about that actual kind of scenario in a story. And so we went round and round and talked about that. And I told him, I said there were some very strong universal themes that I thought the whole world could benefit from coming to know his journey and what he went through. And so I stand outside a grocery store one day in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I told him, I said, look, I know you're concerned, but here's what I can promise you. I will answer to God first, you second, and everybody else can get in line. And so he laughed and said, okay, he said, you can do it. And that's where my journey started.
Right. I'm talking to Terry Benedict. He is the producer of Hacksaw Ridge, a Christopher Award-winning movie, which you might have seen. It was directed by Mel Gibson, starred Andrew Garfield as Desmond T. Doss, the only Congressional Medal of Honor winner who was also a conscientious objector, though in the movie he calls himself a conscientious cooperator. Was that a real-life quote from Desmond?
Yeah, that's in the doco that we did, and Hacksaw is based on the documentary. And when Desmond and I agreed to do all of this, I told him we need to get started right away on the documentary, because I didn't know who was still alive that had shared war experience with Desmond. Mm-hmm. And I used to joke around and say, look, you're not going to live forever, ever. You're going to kick the bucket and nobody's going to believe this story. So mm-hmm. we got to do something, you know. So that took me 4 years with a great team of people. And we found out a lot of information. And that's why Hacksaw is so full and colorful, is because of what our discovery process was going through the documentary.
Well, when you were doing the documentary, you know, you obviously had to have Desmond relive what happened to him, and also the men who served with him. And just watching it in Hacksaw Ridge, I mean, the war scenes are hellish. I can only imagine what the people who experienced them must have gone through. I don't even know how you can come back from that kind of thing and not be broken mentally in some way. So when you were getting these stories from these men, and, you know, they're opening up to you, being vulnerable to you, what did that do to you as a filmmaker?
Well, it's very humbling. And if for those that end up watching the documentary, they will see men who we've heard about, the Greatest Generation, who would never talk about their war experience, that these men totally opened up. They knew their sands of time were short, and they finally let it all out. And their families were the big beneficiaries. As a community, as a society, were the beneficiaries. But you're correct that everyone came out scarred, mm-hmm. and those wounds. And I didn't just interview them for an hour or two. I literally would sit with them for 8 to 10 hours and rolling the camera for a day or two. And so they really had a great opportunity to let everything out, and they all did. And Desmond, I spent days and days and days with him, interviewing him, and he cut loose as well. And he had told his story for 60 years. And, you know, you get to a point where literally I could cut words together and get his story out. But then when he finally cut loose on an emotional level, it changed everything. And so the documentary is very, very powerful, which translated into Hacksaw. That's why that emotion in Hacksaw, it's very visceral.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about Hacksaw Ridge, a feature film nominated for an Academy Award, Christopher Award winner. I'm here with Terry Benedict, one of the producers. But he also did a documentary about the same topic, Desmond Doss, in 2004, called The Conscientious Objector, that everybody should also take a look at. And, you know, in Hacksaw Ridge, I noticed that there was always this innocence to Desmond before the war. I'm curious, were there elements of that innocence that remained with him throughout his life, or did the war experience take that away from him totally?
You know, he led a very simple life growing up, and after the war, he led a very simple life. Mm-hmm. He was disabled, of course. He lived on one lung and was deaf because the Army gave him too much of an antibiotic that made him deaf overnight, basically.
Wow.
And so he led a very challenged life. But you know, when you go through a war experience like that, you're forever changed. You just can't take back the imagery, the, like you said, the hellish nature of what these guys went through.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that remained in Desmond, to me, that was so amazing, was he never became jaded or a skeptic. He had this innate unconditional love for humanity,
mm-hmm.
that was very was a godly kind of thing, and I think you just kind of, it was like a magnet. You just wanted to hang around him because he was just so warm, and that's I just would call him the magnet, and because people just they would just literally go right to him, and it was because of this effusiveness of love that he. It just leaked out of him. It just poured out of him.
Yeah.
And he was just an amazing guy.
Yeah, and it was striking even in the movie how eventually he came to win over the guys who were abusing him. It's like they even came to respect him. Was that, you think, an element of his faith or strength of character or a combination of the two?
Well, Jack Glover, who I had in the documentary, who was one of his main nemesis, and he just hated him, was blown up by an artillery shell on Hacksaw, and his chest was just massively opened up. So imagine you hating the one person that's standing over you now who's going to save your life.
Yeah.
And did so. And Jack, you know, obviously had an epiphany that day and realized that he had totally underestimated Desmond's capability. And I think the faith did have a lot, because that's what got Desmond through. Desmond and I would talk about the period that they call the Section 8 period, where they were threatening to do a Section 8 trial on him. And that was, they almost got to him to the point where he was ready to quit. I mean, he was hanging by his fingernails, trying to make it through, and they almost got him. They came very, very close to discouraging him to the point as he almost gave up, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Terry Benedict, producer of Hacksaw Ridge. You know, we're talking about Terry Desmond's faith influencing him, but I'm curious, did anyone model that faith for him as he was growing up, that he kind of embraced it in the way he did?
His mother was his real spiritual guide. His dad was not into that aspect of a lifestyle. He was very hard on the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was his, not just his mother's love, but it was his mother transferring and helping Desmond and his brother and sister understand that there was a loving God, and that in order for them to be able to call themselves Christians, that they needed to model that love, that same love that God showed them, mm-hmm. to other people and serve others. And that's really what drove Desmond to want to be a medic, to serve. That's all he wanted to do. He wasn't looking to be a hero or anything. He just wanted to be able to be in a helpful way, in a helpful moment. And he didn't want to shrink back. He wanted to be out on the front lines because he had a legitimate deferment.
Yeah.
He didn't have to enlist like he did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he did come to win the Medal of Honor. So tell me, how did that process come to be? Was it all the guys he saved wrote letters on his behalf?
That's a very complex thing that happened. You have to have multiple eyewitnesses. And I read through the legacy of how Desmond got that medal at the Archives, the National Archives in Washington. But it started out with several eyewitnesses, and including men who did not like him in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And then it went up the chain of command all the way up into the chief of staff, joint chief of staff, and then through Marshall, and then on up to the president. So at any point at that chain of command, they can stop it with a no vote. But that's the miracle of the first conscientious objector to receive the Medal of Honor, that no one up the chain of command stopped it.
Wow, that is impressive. It's reminding me of there's a line from the prayer of St. Francis, "Where there is hatred, let me sow love." It seems like that's what Desmond did, and that's mm-hmm. ultimately what won everybody over.
Right, correct.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Terry Benedict. He's the producer of the Christopher Award-winning film Hacksaw Ridge. He also directed a documentary about Desmond Doss years ago called The Conscientious Objector. Now, stories grounded in religious faith don't always get, and sometimes they don't deserve critical acclaim, but, you know, you're at the Oscars. This movie won a few Oscars. Why do you think Hacksaw Ridge bridged the gap and found both popular and critical success?
Well, on its own merit, it's just an incredible, unique, fresh story that most people had never heard. And stories of faith can be very, very compelling, but there has to be a standard of excellence in the filmmaking process. And that's why Mel did such a terrific job directing the film and balancing between the horrors of war and the incredible heroics and faith of Desmond. And I think that's why people in all walks of life that have gone to see the film benefited from seeing it, because they saw in a context, yes, it was graphic, but they saw in a context a man who was swimming upstream in a current that was just ravaging the world, especially in the battles that they fought in. But yet he wasn't going to be denied ever to compromise his faith in God. And I think that even for people that aren't may not profess faith per se, they certainly can respect the fact that Desmond held strong to his belief system, mm-hmm. and he wasn't going to let go, and mankind benefited as a result of that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because I think one of the biggest problems in our culture today is, you know, often we're not willing to acknowledge that another person's opinion or point of view that at least has elements of truth and validity to them. And what Hacksaw Ridge does in showing Desmond's story is we really need to put ourselves in the other person's shoes to listen to other people. How do you think his story conveys that message to the modern world?
Well, that's an excellent point you make. One of the object lessons that when Desmond and I talked, there were actually a couple of themes that what we wanted to get out there. But the thing you touched upon was, we live in a world where people talk about the word tolerance, and we get so judgmental about, if you don't fit into my cookie cutter mold, then you can't be offering anything that's worth anything, mm-hmm. to, you know, in my view. And yet what Desmond brought was a different ideology than what the Army was looking for. And the Army thought he was the weakest link when in fact he became the strongest link.
Exactly.
So I think tolerance, just because somebody believes differently than we do, we ought not just write them off patently. So we ought to look at and see and consider what they do bring to the table and work in a more collaborative mode. The other point that Desmond, that I would talk to him a lot about, and he agreed, he just didn't know how universal that would be. But I know it was important to him, and that was, all of us on our journey of life will usually come up upon some incredibly challenging time, some moment, some tragedy, something that was very unexpected. And he really wanted people to know that if we lived a life that had the faith element to it, and that was a priority, that no matter what, our faith in God could and would get us through the day. And so that was super important to him. It's important to me as a person, how I live my life. And he was always a great source of encouragement for me as a result of that.
Yeah. Well, did your friendship with Desmond change you as a person? Did it change you as a person and as a filmmaker, let's say?
You know, I did the voiceover on the documentary, and I hadn't intended to do that. And my filmmaker friends all said, look, you have to do it because Desmond has affected you. This is your story. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, that's crazy. But at the end of the documentary, when I'm just delivering the final lines of the voiceover, I say that Desmond changed the world. I know, because he changed me.
Wow.
And that's the effect that Desmond's had on me and thousands of other people.
Sure. Well, I know when you started in Hollywood, I'm talking to Terry Benedict, he's producer of the Christopher Award-winning film Hacksaw Ridge. When you started in Hollywood, Terry, you were working on movies like The Terminator and such, but eventually you wanted to do more work that had social value. So what motivated you to make that choice? Was Desmond already part of your life at this point, or did that choice come on its own?
Well, something was going on with me that I knew I needed to make a change. I think I was just being spiritually impressed that something had to give. And right at that time is when I got reconnected with Desmond. And mm-hmm. so that was really a big answer for me. And it was just, like I said, I was at a point of transition. So when I took on the Desmond Dawes story and started on the documentary and was getting to know Desmond, he became very grandfatherly towards me, mm-hmm. and offered, you know, he never was preachy to me. He never was looking to try to convert me, but he would plant seeds of wisdom with me, and those seeds would grow. And so he was very much a key component of me changing and learning how to serve others. I started a nonprofit as a result of doing the documentary and got involved with a lot of issues like sex trafficking, women's health in developing countries, and Native American issues, education, especially for kids and Native American kids. So I have to credit that back to Desmond and also my own spiritual faith and that sort of thing. So timing's everything, you know.
Yeah. Well, how has your faith evolved from, say, from childhood to now? I mean, are you, because I think you said you were, or I've read you were raised Seventh-day Adventist, just like Desmond was. How has your faith evolved in terms of just how you see God and his role in the world?
When I get asked that question now, my usual response is my theology is pretty simple. I'm a Matthew 25 guy. So and so my worldview has expanded by serving others, like I said, and instead of just going to church once a week kind of thing, I realize how 99% of the other people on the planet live and know that I need to do everything I can to be a contributor to raising up those in the greatest need and not just talk about faith. I really need to do my best to exemplify that, even though I know I'm grossly imperfect about how I do that sometimes. But my faith is a lot different now. It's not just a theory. I do my best to just kind of live it and let it all hang out there.
Right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Terry Benedict. He's the producer of the movie Hacksaw Ridge about Desmond T. Doss. He's also the founder of a foundation you mentioned before called the Shea Foundation. It's S-H-A-E, shaefoundation.org, in case anyone wants to look that up. And like he said, it's involved with projects to combat human trafficking, promote an addiction and recovery center, among other things. So let me just go back to this whole Christopher Award idea, because everything the Christophers do revolves around this idea that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. So how does Desmond's life personify that ideal, do you think?
Well, he definitely was in a world of darkness for a good share of that war experience that he had. And when he's up on the ridge, whether you were to watch the doc or see Hacksaw, the line that everybody remembers is, "Lord, help me get one more." And that was at the absolute worst, darkest moment in Desmond's life. And he, hanging on to the thread of faith that he had, he could see some point of light, and by seeing that point of light in God, he became the point of light himself, because the men who were laying around there, that's what they saw. Mm-hmm. They saw Desmond as a shining light at that moment, as even their savior, as it were. And I think that he exemplified this Christ-like behavior. And I know that makes people nervous sometimes when we talk about being Christ-like, but that is the definition of being a Christian, is to be Christ-like.
Yeah.
And so I think that for me, when I look at Desmond as a human being and setting aside just the war experience and seeing how he lived his life, his whole life in totality, he was this point of light in a world of darkness. And that's why I feel like he exemplified this Christ-like behavior, was that he was this point of light.
Yeah. Well, when you hit times of darkness in your own life, does Desmond's example as that light, does he help you? I mean, where do you find the hope and will to light that metaphorical candle and move forward in life when the dark times hit?
Well, I'll tell you a quick little ditty. We were probably 2 years into the documentary, and there were bumpy roads. There were big bumps in the road. There were, in fact, a mountain, and one of those mountains was 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point in the documentary, I just thought I was going to make the worst film ever. And so I was sitting at Desmond's house, and I just told him, I said, "I feel like I'm going to be a failure." And he just, he looked at me, and he said, "You're not going to be a failure, and this film isn't going to be a failure. And even if this film never gets completed," he said, "just know I will never have lost faith in you."
Wow.
He didn't say any more than that. And yet that booster shot that he gave me helped me push through, because he said, "Look, you're trying to do the right thing and tell a story that has a spiritual theme to it." And he said, "You're going to get bucked by the dark side at times." He said, "Don't think it's just going to be an easy walk." So he said, "I understand. So I want you to know that there's no pressure. coming from me. And that was hugely helpful for me. And later on, when I have hit some dark times in my life, I have thought about the fact of the time I spent with Desmond, and certainly knowing intimately the story of what he went through. And I think that's why when we talk about role models, you know, aside from God being the ultimate role model, it is helpful to be around godly people because they are an inspiration. They do offer encouragement, and they offer also an example of many times situations we may find ourselves into, as opposed to just thinking about stories that are thousands of years old. So I do think it's helpful.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I've been talking to Terry Benedict about his movie Hacksaw Ridge, which is on DVD and Blu-ray and streaming. It was nominated for an Academy Award, directed by Mel Gibson, an outstanding star turn by Andrew Garfield as Desmond Doss, and it's really worth your while, because as Terry was talking about today, Desmond Doss is a role model for all of us in terms of living out his spiritual beliefs when everyone seemed against him, when the hatred of all his fellow Army officers and soldiers were against him. He lived up to his beliefs, and he wound up saving so many of those people's lives, and that hatred that they felt toward him turned toward love, just as the prayer of St. Francis says. So you should check out Hacksaw Ridge. Again, it's available everywhere. And Terry, thanks so much for joining us today on the show and telling this story both on film and on our show today.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
The most difficult trials in life demand that we dig deep within ourselves to find the capacity for courage that God has bestowed upon the human soul. But courage begins with an act of the will to persevere through pain, suffering, and even failure. To help you along that path, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Finding the Courage Within. It offers insights on building character, cultivating the ability to act courageously, and making sacrifices for the greater good. To request your free copy of Finding the Courage Within, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.